This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Welcome, everyone, to Nerds from the Underground, an imprint of Indie Alley. I'm your host, Fred, and I'm here today with the Caribbean Caramel.
that's my super name. What's going on, people?
Yeah. Did I hit it right, Rico?
Yeah, you're good, man. You're good.
How do you feel about doing that indie podcast? I heard you this morning on a movie podcast. How are you feeling about doing double duty this week?
Oh man, I used to do that. I used to do the double, triple duty weekly mess. But no, I'm feeling good. I'm feeling nice. I got my water, and I got my goldfish here. I'm good.
Like the goldfish crackers?
Yeah, I'm stealing my daughter's snacks from school. Like
every... What flavor?
No, the cheddar ones.
Oh, the cheddar ones. Okay, no pizza, no pretzel or anything like that.
No, man, I didn't even like goldfish. I just started eating these things.
Well, speaking of goldfish, we are covering a book that happens to talk about fish in a way. The Wake. What a segue, huh? Professional.
Ooh, man, don't
let the guys know that.
Ooh, bars, bars.
And I'm going to read the solicit, and then we'll get into it. Okay, The Wake. When marine biologist Lee Archer is approached by Department of Homeland Security for help with a new threat, she declines, but quickly realizes that they won't take no for an answer. Soon, she is plunging to the depths of the Arctic Circle, to a secret underwater oil rig filled with roughnecks and scientists on the brink of an incredible discovery.
Ooh.
But when things go horribly wrong, this scientific safe haven will turn into a house of horrors at the bottom of the ocean. Writer Scott Snyder, artist Sean Murphy, colorist Matt Hollingsworth, letters by Jared K. Fletcher, publisher Vertigo, The Wake. How do you feel about The Wake, Rico?
Man, this book came out in 2013. And as you can see, all those names that you have mentioned there, that's a dream team when it comes to creatives.
It sure is, especially now for DC, right?
Exactly. before we started recording, I was telling Fred that back in 2012, 2011, I read Snyder's the Batman book, Black Mirror, and that's when I became a fan of his. And I said, I'm going to just hunt down whatever this guy wrote. And a couple of months after that, this series came out. And I pick it up because, you know, you hear the solicit, I'm like, okay, let me see what's this about. And this book is a true horror trailer suspense type of book about a group of scientists trapped in an underwater lab with mermaids. And this is not the Disney's Little Mermaid that we're talking about here. These mermaids are like a killer, will eat you alive, will rip your face off type of mermaids. And they look... The monster design on these things, they look crazy.
Yeah, they do. They do look like really crazy, man. They it's intense. Like the intensity that, like the drawing, the art by Sean Murphy with the dialogue, how it's matched. Totally get like a feel of like Predator or The Abyss with this book. I get a like The Abyss feel totally with it. I'm glad that you brought this book to my attention because, you know, I didn't know The Wake. I knew, like, he wrote Witches and American Vampire and books like that, and I've read those books. But this was new to me. And this was you're right, this is not like The Little Mermaid at all, because the visions that these mermaids caused like threw me off when I was reading. I'm like, wait, is her name Lee? Is her son really talking to her right now? And then like they emit these what like toxins or something, so you see like things that aren't happening. And man, it is super crazy. This is yeah. Wow.
And I like, and man, this is why Scott Snyder is like a master class storyteller, because he kind of like get inspired by all the mythology when it comes to mermaids and sirens, and then he shows you that throughout the book. There is a one of the experts that are working on this lab. He is like an expert on mythology and folklore and all that stuff. And throughout the book, he's telling people, oh, there's this story from Asia about this tsunami and this creature that is kind of like the apocalypse, but that is pretty much that the end of the world is coming from the water. And when I was reading this book, like, I Google all that stuff, and it was actually real. Like, all the myths that guy says on this book, they're actually based on, not true stories, but true myth. And also that thing about that there's this theory about humans coming in from the water, but there was a tribe that stayed in the water, and they think that it's the theory about the water ape and all that stuff. So he's crafted this comic from that myth, and it just made it feel to me, because I started googling all that stuff, it just made it feel real. Like, this is not just a horror book, it's like a sci-fi horror. It to me feels like Alien, but underwater with water creature. That's what pretty much the book is.
Yeah, like how you mentioned how he did the research and everything, it does, like how this book goes on does give you like a cinematic feel. Like it feels like it's written for a movie. It also feels like Scott Snyder should be writing Aquaman, if you ask me, after reading this, because I'm like, man, he should be writing this right now for DC. What's
Yeah,
going on? Get on the phone.
exactly. Because the way the creature looks, it looks like a human, but it's like all muscle, and then half of the body is pretty much like a shark. He got the and then but the face, the teeth, it's like a big piranha. It kind of like looks like the trench from Aquaman, except they're like half fish. And so the story goes that this big oil company was drilling, and then they found this creature. So the people that work for the company, they just hire a bunch of experts. Like, they have Lee Archer, which is the main character, and she's an expert on pretty much like communication, understanding the whales when they sing, and they communicate. That's her expertise. Then they got the guy that is all about like mythology and folklore. Then they have an engineer that helped design the lab, and also he's like a big hunter. And then you have the Lee's former boss that works on that world too. So they have all these scientists trying to figure out what this is. But what they don't know is that this is not just a dangerous animal. They're actually extremely smart. And throughout the book, this thing really shows you, he came with prepare, man. He on his Batman shit, man. He came with prep time, and he's fucking everything up.
It's definitely like it plays into like the psychological feel, because they think that it keeps, didn't they say like they think like he's repeating something that it's heard in the past over and over again? But then they kind of put it together, like who he was talking to. Is that right?
That's what's scary, because when you think about it, when you see animals, like you see a dog and he's barking, you're not thinking, you think, oh, he's just making noise. But
Right.
then eventually they discover, like, no, he is pretty much reporting back to his people, pretty much. Like, there is an issue that they say, oh, they send, we didn't trap this creature here. He's on a recon mission. He let us trap him so he can see what we're doing, and he's reporting back to his people. And then, and that's the cool part about this book, that it starts as, like a creature feature, one creature, six people against one monster. But then it's like, oh no, for issue 4 and 5, it becomes a whole different thing. It's like a whole invasion of of these mermaids, man.
Especially like the ending, how this ended. Man, it was kind of sad. Like you feel bad for Lee Archer and everyone that's on that ship. Or, under the water. But you kind of also feel bad for the creature. You kind of grow empathy for that creature too because of what's happening throughout with him. This is really a really great book. I really enjoyed it. And one thing that I enjoyed, not only Snyder's writing, but the art and how like things were depicted and stuff like that. Panels and action scenes, and it's kind of gritty. It has a lot of it definitely has like Sean Murphy's distinctive style, and the art captures a lot of the emotion of each character too. That it's a total package. This book is definitely a total package, man.
Yeah, man. And then when he, that those parts that people start like hallucinating, based on the myth of the sirens, when they start singing, like people start hallucinating stuff. So these mermaids have kind of like this that same power. And it's just a cool transition when, is it real? Is it fake? What they're seeing? And then eventually, boom, somebody gets their face eaten or whatever. I mean, it is really cool. This is a really cool book. And then at the I know Snyder, the version that I have at the end, he writes about, what inspired him to do this book. And like, it all started when he saw this news about some prehistoric shark that they found in Japan, and it was like super long, and he that started working on him. And eventually, boom, he did this book. I thought that was pretty cool. How can somebody just read an article online and then, I'm just gonna write a book about some shit?
Yeah, especially like one thing I will suggest to people that are listening, if you're a fan of indie comics, I definitely suggest reading anything from Vertigo, because they put out so many great titles over the years, whether it was like this one, Why the Last Man, books like that, Scalped. I'm trying to think of some on the fly right now, but brain farts, but yeah, they put out a lot of good books over the years, and they totally killed it, man. I'm sad to see them go, but they left a great legacy, especially like just rereading this book right here was bring us back to a lot of well, to bring you back to memories. To me, it was my first impression of this book, and I was pleasantly surprised. But how can you be turned down by Scott Snyder and Sean Murphy working together on one book? Normally, those guys are doing Batman, but separately.
No, definitely, man. And, they are superstars now. So it is an all-star creative team, right there.
Yeah. So, you got anything else you want to add to this, or do you want to move to the next book?
Well, about the Wake, there is a sequel to this book. I didn't like the sequel. I know I have a couple of friends that, they really enjoy it. But to me, the first part is the best. The sequel is, it does a time jump, for like hundreds of years, I believe. And
Oh,
it becomes like Waterworld. You remember that movie with Kevin Costner?
Yeah, I saw that in the theater, and I was wondering because at the beginning of this first arc, I think like the dolphin and the character in the second arc, that's what they're showing, right? Is like from present day or the future, but then they go back to the story, right? Is that what how the story goes?
Yeah, and on the second, on the on part two, of the wake, it is pretty much like Mad Max, in the water, like the creatures took over the world, and they got to deal with that shit. Like I said, I didn't like it at all, but
Right.
I know some people that think it's cool, but I didn't like that one.
Yeah, I thought because the main character was like the female and then the dolphin, and they were winning some. They were working together and kind of defeating those creatures, I think, at the beginning of the second arc. And that's kind of odd to see the dolphins get a win because if you watch them on TV on Sundays, they ain't winning anything. I just throw shade to all you Miami folks. Hiram, if you're listening, I know you're a Buffalo Bills fan, but
But he lives near Miami, so he can.
right. So that's why I did that. Let's get into lock and key. I'm gonna read this solicit real quick. It's a lot shorter, so it should move along quicker. The Eisner nominated lock and key tells of the key house, an unlikely New England mansion with fantastic doors that transform all who dare to walk through them, and home to the hate-filled and relentless creature that will not rest until the forces open the most terrible door of them all. Writer Joe Hill. Art by Gabriel Rodriguez. Colors by Jay Photos. And letters by Robbie Robbins from IDW Publishing. It's Lock and Key. Welcome to Lovecraft, Volume 1.
Ooh, Lock and Key, man. This is one of my favorite comic books, like ever. It's a horror fantasy about this family that live in this house, and what's happening in this house is that there's some magic keys and magic doors, and you can use those doors to, some of them give you power, some of them, you can travel to another places. So how the story starts is this it kind of like throws you like in the middle of the plot, and then you get flashbacks to understand what's happening. But the opening scene on this book is brutal. These two crazy kids, they come into a house where the Locke family is like renovating the place. And they start asking about the keys, and they're like, what are you talking about? Because at this point, they don't really know, what he's talking about. And then it just become like into like a brutal murder scene. The dad gets killed, the mom gets beat up. It just gets really explicit. I remember telling, I think it was Chris. Was it Chris that I told him, I recommended this book, and he was like, no, that book is a little too brutal for me.
Yeah, I think it was Chris.
I think it was him. But yeah, so this kids, they see one of his dad's students kill him, asking about some keys, and they don't know what's going on, and they just the way they process this is like, he was a crazy kid, and like they, that detail about keys, they didn't really care. And then they move to the house where he, this paranormal type of house that has all these keys that gives you power. And I'm being vague because I don't really want to spoil this book. Like I said, this is five volumes, and it's again one of the greatest comics that I have ever written in my life. But the way the way Joe Hill writes, and it's just really, really good. The way that the panels transition,
Mm-hmm.
It is, and the book is intense. Every page is an extremely good type of storytelling, and you see pretty much a family dealing with the tragedy of losing the dad, losing the husband, and how it's affecting each family member. Like the mom becomes like an alcoholic. The Tyler, which is like the older kid, he feels super guilty because before his dad got killed, they were having problems. And Kenzie, the middle child, the girl, she feels like useless. She feels like a coward because when the murder was going down, she just hide and didn't do anything. Seeing a family dealing with that, and then also dealing with the fact that eventually the guy that killed the dad escaped from prison and is hunting them again. And the cool thing about all these five issues, like you get hints about the keys and their powers, but by the time that this book ends, only the little boy is the one that knows about only one key because it's a bunch of keys. So it really string you along. This is like a this first volume is like a big tease of what's to come, and it's just so worth the way they told that is amazing.
It's perfect storytelling. And I can't wait to see it on Netflix. It should be happening soon, right?
Yeah, there's actually because I remember years ago, Fox, they recorded a pilot because they wanted to make a TV series, and I think the pilot you can still I used to be on YouTube. I don't know if it's still there. The pilot is horrible. Like don't worry about the, yeah, like you don't that's not a must watch right there. But the book is so good that I remember that Steven Spielberg at one point was interested in doing like a trilogy, the movies, and now Netflix has the rights and they're planning on doing a series, man. And let me tell you, because I have read this book, man, probably like 10 times. If they do it right, this could knock down Stranger Things from being like the popular Netflix series because it is extremely good. And you only have read volume one, and I'm telling you, man, it gets better and better. And it's one of those comic series that, like, the ending is also amazing. Like, it's not gonna let you down at the end, because things keep getting crazy. And eventually, all the three kids, they learn about the keys and they learn how to use the keys. And it's just become a war of, horror and magic and fantasy and all that mess. It's really good, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a well-written book. Especially, I mean, it's going to be money because it's Joe Hill, the son of Stephen King. I mean, the horror king. His son is
Yeah.
doing it. And now Joe Hill has like that contract with DC, doing his own horror line there. So you're going to get more of his type of style of writing in horror books. But what I really like is like the characters. Bodhi. Man, you can't help but root for Bodhi like the whole book. Like no one listens to Bodhi, and he tells them that he can go through this thing and he can turn into a ghost, and they're like, yeah, whatever, get out of my face, kid. And then and then when it happens to Ty, then he starts noticing, and they see stuff. But what I didn't understand was the lady in the what do you call
In
it,
the well?
the yes, in the well. Doesn't she look like Nina a lot, the mom?
Yeah. Well,
Didn't she look like.
the and I'm a huge fan of Gabriel Rodriguez art. But
It's beautiful.
it is beautiful, right? And bro, and the way that he draws the house, and if you keep reading this book, keep checking the way that he draws like buildings and and cars and stuff like that, because he used to be an architect.
Oh,
So
wow.
that's why when you see the house, like, he really take his time drawing the house, and drawing the rooms and stuff like that. But I love him, and he's an amazing artist. But when it comes to faces, like, it feels like he only has like 10 faces that he always draws. So
Yeah, that
a lot of
they
people
kind of look like, yeah, the two female characters, they kind of look like Demi Moore to me, you know what I'm saying?
and you know, a lot of the faces kind of like look the same. And he reminds me of the creator of Dragon Ball Z, Akira Toriyama, because he has like five faces that he draws, and everything else is just changing hair. But yeah, the art and the way that he draws action sequences, it's just amazing, because another artist know how to draw like a fluid a action sequences. And this book, like, you can, like, it has jump scares, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're reading a panel and everything is good, then you turn the page and you get a splash page of somebody getting stabbed with scissors, you know, in the face out of nowhere. So like I said, the book is super brutal, and you know, it gets really dark. And the things that happen on that book is, you know, it will blow your mind. I was when this book came out, I remember I was tray waiting, because that's what I used to do. It's cheaper like that, and I just like to sit down and read five, six issues back to back. But eventually, after volume two, I couldn't wait, and I just started buying the singles, because it was that good, man.
Yeah, it definitely is really good. And like the bad guy in the first volume, he reminds me a lot from like the bad kid from Deadly Class. What do they call him? Fuckface that follows him and stuff. And kind of he reminds me a lot of him because like he's like taking out people and he's on a mission to like destroy this family and get back to the woman in the well. But then I don't know if I should spoil. He gets done and he gets taken out by someone, so spoilers. But yeah, dude, this is a great book. I really love this book, especially like the art, the colors, the whole book, like, is storytelling. Just like the last book we just reviewed, I couldn't put it down. I'm like three volumes in on Lock and Key. I need to catch up because I want to watch it all be or read it all before like the Netflix series comes out, so I can be like, oh, wait, that's not like the book, kind of like when Deadly Class came out. I wanted to compare it and be like, wait, they switched this around, I want to do it. And it's definitely it's one of my favorite books, especially like horror. Yeah, man, this Joe Hill really kills it, like on like Cape Falling and books like that. Like his whole horror genre of comics is outstanding, in my opinion. Like, you can't mess with any of his titles.
No, he is amazing. And the artist here, Gabriel Rodriguez, he's now writing his own stuff. So he
Oh,
had.
yeah. What was that book that you. Because we were going to do that book.
Yes, there's a book called, I think it's IDW too. It's called Sword of Ages. Can't speak to it. What the hell? Sword of Ages. And it's kind of like the King Arthur story, but with like some sci-fi elements, and that book gets brutal too. There's a fight with like the knights against the giant, and that thing gets bloody as hell. So he
So
that
that's another horror book too.
no, this is not a horror book, but I think Gabriel is extreme, man. He yeah, when it comes to action, you know, people get stabbed in his book like quite often, you know.
Nice. Yeah, I know I downloaded it after you mentioned it off of Comixology. I picked it up after you mentioned it, and I was like, because remember we were gonna do a whole Gabriel Rodriguez episode.
Yeah, that was
That was
one of the plans. But you know,
Maybe next time.
it's October, so we gotta keep it horror.
Yeah, definitely. And no better book to like read besides like Lock and Key, man. I mean, I feel like that it kind of hits it. You know, I recently just did an episode. I don't think it'll be released around Halloween. I think Johnny and I did Nailbiter, but this is right up there with Nailbiter in my opinion.
Oh yeah, Nailbiter is insane. Yes.
It's that the whole town is messed up.
And you know what? I don't think I ever finished that book now that you mention it.
You didn't finish volume one?
No, Nail Biters? No, I think I stopped like around issue 20 or something.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I heard that I think I don't know if it's a true rumor or not, but I heard Williamson's gonna like reboot it or have like a spin-off to it.
Oh, it might be because when that was coming out, a lot of people were buying that book. So I guess it did good.
I mean it's I'm not a fan of his Flash writing, but like his writing for Nailbiter is amazing, man. I was like, whoa, I need to read more of this. Like, you know, like he did Birthright and things like that too, but
Yeah.
I'm getting off topic. We're actually talking about Joe Hill. But I guess, I mean, it's horror still, so we kind of, it's a genre. We're hitting it.
Yeah, well, yeah,
Yeah.
well,
So,
we're there, we're there.
now, I guess because we have a little bit of time, do you have a few like books that you would suggest if people like Lock and Key, like you would say, hey, you need to check out this, if this is your cup of tea?
Like any more like horror books?
Like, you know, a few more horror books seeing it's October.
Let me see. Oh man, you caught me off guard
I put
there.
you on a spot.
Yeah, you put me on the spot. I don't know about horror comics right now. I'm because lately I've just been reading a lot of Superman because he makes me feel like a kid. So
Yeah, but not the Bendis stuff, right?
no, I know the Bendy stuff. I was told that he should retire. That's what I've been told.
Oh, you heard that on another
On another
podcast?
podcast, man. No, but I've been reading Geoff Johns' Superman. I know that's. Oh, I have a horror recommendation. There's an Aliens book, and it's only four issues. It's called Aliens, Dead Orbit, and it's written by I think his name is James Stokes. The art and and he's a writer, and it's only four issues of this guy trapped in a spaceship with an alien, you know, like the aliens, like the movies. Only four issues. It is amazing. And you know that keep up with the team with you know being trapped with a creature on a and that book will really make you feel claustrophobic, man. I cannot pronounce a thing today, but
That's the Dark Horse book, right?
yeah, it's a Dark Horror
Is that
book.
in the
Yeah,
pub?
I think Comixology has it for like $2.99 because they always put that in special, and it's only four issues, so anybody can just you know whenever you're bored and you're sitting down the toilet, just read that thing, man.
You said when you're sitting on the
Yeah, it will help you
toilet.
with the constipation.
Yeah, it'll scare the shit right out of you,
Yeah,
man.
man, it's really good, man. It's really,
Hell
really good.
no, you set me up with that one. All right, I knocked it out of the park. All right, well, I think that should do it for our episode of Nerds from the Underground. You can follow our page at Nerds From. You can follow Indie Alley at Indie Alley. Hit up nerdylegion.com. Get all the podcasts. You can get our podcast with many other podcasts on there. Tons of great content. You can follow Rico at.
Rico Reads Comics.
Oh, yeah, look at that. And you can follow me at Comics Fred. Yeah, man, it was fun just talking some comics with you, Rico. Good times. You're getting back in the groove. I see you doing another podcast in the future, maybe. Huh?
I
Maybe.
like the way you said it. I see you. It's in the cards.
Yeah, I can see it right in front of me, the tarot cards. We don't hate if you trade weight. We out.
Ha 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 ha!